Welcome back into Web Friends. This is Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar here this week with Brian Muir.
I'm dreaming of a crappy movie.
Just like the one I just watched.
Andy Wolf joining
That's
in.
Me, yeah.
Cody Wolf. And Mr. Beard, Jack Estabrook.
I the snowman.
Oh.
I was going to say that because that's one of the stupidest lines in the whole freaking movie.
Which is quite a statement.
They did.
Really?
I think Snow Dad
is better than No Dad, I think was worse.
Yeah. Snow Dad is better.
Which is debatable.
I don't remember her sleeping at that point.
Yeah. That was. I'm with Cody. That might have been the worst.
Snow Dad is better than No Dad.
Oh, is that the stupid kid that's kids?
Yeah, the bully. The bully, yeah. All right, our movie this week is the 1998 Jack Frost movie starring Michael Keaton. We have to say 1998 because there's another Jack Frost from 1996, which is a crazy B
horror movie.
I think it's from Trauma. Oh, God.
It's below Trauma.
Basically, the films have the same basic premises that a man dies and comes back as a snowman, but in the one Jack Frost, he's this dad who's trying to reconcile his problems with his son.
And that's the horror one, right?
Yes. And then the other movie is a serial killer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So it's basically the same movie.
Basically the same movie. Just in case you're confused.
Well, Jack Frost in this movie did kill two kids with a giant snowball.
He may have killed
I was going to say, like, that one scene is like seven kids are in peril.
There's seven kids who at the very least are in the hospital.
I know.
Right? I killed some children with snowballs. You might want to lay low, Jack.
His new superpower, so he decides to use it for the bad.
For good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
So we'll get to get right into this. It's clear from the opening scene that Michael Keaton agreed to do this on the premise of, "Hey, do I get to sing some songs?
Yeah, right.
You know, do I get to put? Do I get to sing with a rock band? Because if I get to sing with a rock band, I'm in. You know.
Yeah, well, this is Michael Keaton really stretching his acting ability too.
Well,
I don't think he's bad in it.
I have a lot.
It's Michael Keaton playing Michael Keaton again. I mean, there's nothing.
Michael Keaton plays
what
like
I mean,
certain
again.
Every movie
he's Michael Keaton.
I really like Michael Keaton.
You should see Queen and Sober then. I don't know. I haven't seen that one. Yeah, you might get a shock in that one.
It's full of laughs and hijinks.
Beetlejuice.
Just like this one.
I'm going to say terrible, terrible things about this movie, but I do want to say up front, I agree with Jack. I don't think Michael Keaton is really the problem with it.
No, I say the problem. It's just funny.
He's never really the problem in a movie.
It was just it was Michael Keaton. That's all.
Well, you want to play some crazy character in a Christmas movie about
it's
a father's
like same. I'm just saying, it's like with George Clooney. It's always the same head tilts and, you know, Tom Cruise is always, except for a couple of roles, is always the same. You're not watching like, oh, I'm watching Joe Bob. I'm watching.
You wanted to see
I'm
him.
I'm watching
own
Jack
there comes
Frost.
A point. I can see where you're going.
Yeah,
it's the point where a Hollywood actor is always. That's all you see is the Hollywood actor.
Yeah, it's like
actor.
You always say about Jack Nicholson. You always say the same damn thing. Now you look at me like I'm.
Me? I've never said that about Jack
Nicholson. Oh my God! You say it all the time. It's Jack Nicholson playing Jack Nicholson again.
What are you talking about? I love Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. He's not Jack Nicholson.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Nest.
One of
the Joker.
You're
like, I would.
The Joker is.
Well, I know. I said.
Jack Nicholson.
I said. Okay, this is a conversation that's totally taken. I was talking about Jack Nicholson's Joker compared to Heath Ledger's Joker, and I was saying Jack Nicholson was playing Jack Nicholson's Joker in that movie.
To defend
Michael Keaton for a second, I would say, and you should see Michael Keaton's work from the 80s. I mean, because in the 80s, he was going from making like zany comedies like Night Shift
or a movie like
Beetlejuice.
Mr. Mom
Night Shift is great.
And Mr. Mom, to making one of the most intense dramas of the 80s, Clean and Sober, and then being the villain in essentially a horror film in Pacific Heights.
That's right.
I mean,
Michael Keaton's range in a lot of the stuff he did was pretty incredible. And then being the lead in an action movie, you know, in Batman. I mean, I don't know if any actor. I mean, I was talking to someone about this week, and they're like, "Oh, James Franco does a lot of different genres." I'm like, "Yeah, but James Franco wasn't doing them in like huge, mega budgeted movies in the 80s when the independent film community didn't really work when Michael Keaton was doing that."
Yeah.
And James Franco's terrible. But,
right. Well, okay. I mean, yeah.
Oh, poor James Franco.
So we get
127
I'm feeling his new movie is
like 127
be on
hours.
Very soon. The Jason Statham one where he plays like a meth. It's basically like a movie spinoff of Breaking Bad, except bad.
Yeah, just bad.
Breaking Bad.
Bad.
It's just called Bad.
Broken Bad.
Bad.
All right, so we see Michael Keaton.
Can I just say that the crowd at this club, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he's playing at a blues club, and the crowd in the club seems pretty chill. Like they don't look like they're listening to, like from behind, when they show the stage, they're like getting into it, they're cheering, they're getting into it. But then when they do that reverse where that guy pulls a Back to the Future and holds the phone up to the band.
Oh, we need to talk about that. Well, the audience
is just sitting there like,
Well, let's first talk about it. First of all,
they're
playing,
like a famous band or anything. It's just like,
yeah, but you'd think that people would be behind their favorite local group, you know?
And this is one of my least favorite holiday things.
You wanted like some foam fingers and chants.
Well, no, I thought they'd just be clapping Frost. Or singing along.
Well, the Michael Keaton band, they're known as the Jack Frost. His name is Jack Frost, and they're the Jack Frost band.
Of course.
That's the name of the movie.
One of the things I hate most about the holidays, when a rock band plays a Christmas carol as a rock song. This is not original. It's not entertaining, or it's not as entertaining as anyone thinks it's going to be. They're playing Frosty the Snowman. And, you know, in this, like, blues club, Michael Keaton is bluesing it up, you know. And then, as Jack said, in this Back to the Future moment, there's this guy in the crowd who's, like, I don't know, calling someone. He's like, hey, man, check it out, and holds his cell phone up. We then go into a terrible instrumental solo. And then he gets back on the phone. He's like, these guys are killing it. We need to sign them. I'm like, based on the cell phone version of a terrible instrumental solo of Frosty the Snowman, you want to sign this group?
I think it was less terrible and more just generic. It was just kind of generic.
That's what the blues are.
Yeah. Well, this movie's instantly dated too, because if you were wondering if it's from 1998, the Jack Frost band is a terrible Dave Matthews band ripoff.
I got that vibe when that lady started going crazy on the violin.
That lady was really getting into it.
I'm like, oh.
I was going to say more like Blues Traveler, but.
Or blues.
I thought Dave Matthews band when I saw it.
Because
you could see there's a lot of influence of the time that the film was made in. Obviously,
violins check, harmonica check, keyboard check.
I didn't look into it either. But songs does check. The director or someone have some association with music, because they have main character playing this blues band? They have Henry Rollins in it, which I was totally excited to see.
Absolutely.
Frank Zappa's, all three of his kids are in it.
Yeah.
It's like all this like music stuff. I don't know if like the director has
the
like
director
some...
was is best known as is working. He was the director of Mr. Show, the Bob Odenkirk David Cross program. So that's why there's a lot of Mr. Show
That's why David Cross is the narrator in all the TV commercials.
Yes.
I picked his voice up immediately. Yeah. So that's David Cross.
David Cross does some voiceover. If you know the comedian Paul F. Tompkins, he has a very sudden cameo during the concert scene in the beginning where I'm instantly like, what? Why is Paul F. Tompkins in this? And then it took me a while to put it together. Mm-hmm.
And they're sweating a lot up there on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hot on the
They totally sprayed very him hard. Down with, like, a spray bottle, and they cut to him, and he's like,
the
really...
The blues is hard, man.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
He's rocking it, man. He's really... He's singing good, I guess, you know? I'm believing it.
Did you get the soundtrack yet?
We're taking way too long on this, guys.
I know.
Way too long.
Yeah, we do have to get out of this concert, but it's just to set up like that. This was obviously why Michael Keaton did the movie.
I just wanted to see how long we could stay on
this. I really like the bridge of the song they're playing. With the,
little changes there.
The drummer was a little off-key.
So then Michael Keaton comes home. I don't know. This movie's set in Colorado, far enough from Denver that it takes Michael Keaton a long time to drive home from Denver.
Right.
But also where he's hours from the mountains. So I was trying to do that math in my head. Where are you in Colorado that you're hours from Denver and you're hours from the mountains?
Maybe they were like actually in Kansas. They're like on the border.
That was kind of my thought.
Because even if they're in Kansas, there's not
I don't know,
a professional
the kid. The kid had Denver Broncos posted on his wall.
Yeah, but he could
Colorado
be
Avalanche
a border kid, you know. I mean, was he going to root for the Royals?
But also in a place where they get crazy snowfall. You know, like intense snow. I'm not really sure why.
Part of the charm of the movie.
Well, it did look kind of like a generic Christmas town, USA.
Before his dating is home, I mean, there's some serious issues at the school that his kid goes to because there's some factions there, like freaking brutal, man.
Like, that World like, War II.
Yeah,
is
these
breaking.
Kids are like
World War One. They were serious.
Yeah.
Wow, they want to kill that little kid.
Well, they get.
He's like six. And these kids are like, get off! We gotta kill him! I was like, wow.
There's like people missing limbs.
This snowball fight is really, really over the top.
That escalated.
I was going to say, it escalates quickly because they're like getting out of school.
Like machine gun sound effects and meow.
Yeah, and like Jack Frost's son has to like organize a rescue mission to get a kid
six-year-old.
Yeah, a kid who's pinned down by the seventh graders right. in a snowball fight. Right.
It's like a battle royale breaks out literally 5 seconds after the final bell rings.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. There's serious factions going on there.
I was really troubled by what
I was too. What's going on? This is pretty violent.
Especially the one kid who's told, "Hey, you go draw their attention." Right. So a kid just stands there and gets pummeled.
Yeah, what was the point of that?
Endlessly, not
they
even
took like 40 snowballs.
They made one kid get mercilessly pounded by snowballs to save another kid, when really the worst thing that would have happened to that kid was
the other kid. In the original script, he was going to jump on a snow grenade, but they figured that was too ridiculous.
Yeah.
As we get introduced to the bully, Scott Farkas.
You know his name?
That's from Chris's story. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's basically the same. That one went over my head. He
had sweet hair, though.
He's got his gelled hair and his X Games like goggles. From
Christmas drawing, yeah, it's basically the same character, except he snowboarded.
And they sort of set up this rivalry between him and Jack Frost's son, where Jack Frost, you know, some of his bullies, like, I don't know.
Well,
he's
they
upset
get into
that
it later.
Jack Frost's son was able to rescue this kid who's pinned down in the trench.
No, yeah, as I said, they want to kill that freaking 6-year-old.
There's something here that they kind of touch on, but they don't really. We'll get to it later. But the kid has got a reason why he hates Jack Frost. I guess it's a stupid reason. But
did you also notice when he was on that like hill with the snowball slingshot, and then he like came down to meet Jack Frost? He got on his snowboard and he like fell off it when he came down.
Yeah.
He like put on his snowboard. Went like 2 feet, fell down, and then took off the snowboard. I'm like, maybe just like crawl down, or didn't really look intimidating.
That was totally a cellophane Superman S moment.
Yeah.
Unnecessary snowboard.
And I mean, and moving forward, so Michael Keaton, you know, finally makes it home from this epic concert.
2 weeks later.
Yeah. Kelly Preston is Michael Keaton's wife, the kid's mom.
She is a vixen, Andy, eh?
She has got some.
She is a very,
structure.
Very attractive woman.
Let's say
woman.
Structure. She's got some structure.
Not story structure.
Not story structure. I was looking for story structure.
When I was serving that up to you, I thought you were going to do a little something different
her
with that.
Role,
Christmas movie, trying to keep it.
Her role in this movie is
she has some
impossible to define.
Yeah, no, it is.
I don't know what possibly she's doing. What is she doing in this movie? What does her character do at any point?
She's a plumber. She's constantly fixing the.
Oh no, I mean
the kid.
I mean no, like in the role of this movie. Like, what part does she play in the movie? There's none. There's no reason for her to even like. She has no arc, which I found
she's just there to make the audience
just
be
there.
Like. Well, the kid's got to live with someone after his dad dies.
She doesn't have like really sadness or.
There's no character.
She's basically just like a crutch for this kid to lean on, but she doesn't even provide that really.
She's just someone for the kid to talk to and see. And for someone who's in the whole movie, it's just amazing to me that they didn't provide her with any sort of character development.
I don't
know,
even in the end, you're
kind of
like, that's all? Really, it's all? In the end, you're kind of
like, that's it.
More from you, honey? I mean.
Because even Mac, the friend there, was like more of a. Character had more development than she did.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about his arc later, which absolutely shattered my brain at the end of the movie. I'm like, that's his arc.
But it is true. He did have more.
Yeah, he seemed a lot more broken up about it than the wife did.
Yeah.
I bet the wife.
And he had better.
Oh my gosh, what if
the
wife
too?
Like rigged the car so that he would crash, so that she would get the insurance money.
That would have been a more interesting movie. Yeah. Suddenly.
That could have been it. Because the windshield wiper broke. Right. Maybe she like did that on purpose.
But it wasn't his
car.
It was Mac's car.
Right, but she knew
She
knew that. He was going to change his
mind. Maybe Mac was in on it then.
Oh my God.
Because
Mac was
trying to
make Mac and her were having an affair.
They were Mac and she was Mac and it to Mac.
Makes so much sense.
She was Mac and it to Mac.
Well, so here,
there's a whole subplot. Yeah.
So Michael Keaton gets home. They do what everybody would do, which is they make a midnight snowman.
Well, this gets really like this is like a really corny family because they're trying to establish that Michael Keaton is always on the road and he has no time for his wife and son. Yet whenever he's with his wife and son, it's like sappy music and everyone's happy and hugging and making snowmen and throwing snowballs at each other. And the neighbor's like, "You're making too much noise out there. It's the middle of the night." And they're like, "Sorry." This continue giggling,
But that's the thing. They make it. I don't know. To me, it seemed more like they were a happy family.
Right.
So.
Well, which is true.
So
but
I thought they'd be more like separate, so that when he did die, he had to reconcile. But he seemed like he was pretty.
Yeah, he seems pretty. He seems pretty connected to the kid.
Right,
he's perfectly willing to make sex jokes with both his kid and his wife in this family movie.
Now this movie has jokes for everybody. We got jokes for six-year-olds and adults.
This should be a running tally of how many balls jokes we get in this movie because of the snowballs that he's made out of.
Well, the two.
I don't think I ever called my son a butt boy.
Well, the two dick jokes were the ones that really got me.
I was thinking about that. Is Bernie fine living in this little town?
Yeah.
You called me some names that
I never called you butt boy.
They were very similar to butt boy. So.
Oh.
Yeah. What? So the dad
called, movie based on you guys?
So the
you
dad
called me code ass for most of my life. I'm just saying that.
That's a term of endearment.
I don't know where that came from.
It was a different era.
Wow.
Things were different back when you called him code ass.
The 90s.
I was gonna say, yeah,
that was
like,
different.
Sounds like the 1890s.
You called me butt boy, you know what you're insinuating.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Yeah.
It was his clever retort when he called him butt dad.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like a sitcom, butt dad.
All right, so Michael Keaton gives his son his terrible old harmonica, which is kind of funny, a funny moment in the movie, because the kid is like, thanks. That's
that
great.
Really
that's great, Dad. This spit-filled harmonica that looks like it's about to fall apart.
And he tells him it's magical. He makes up a story that it's magical. That's important.
And the kid's like, really? Okay. And the kid just like shoves it in his pocket. He's like, yeah, okay, great. Thanks, Dad. I'm going to go inside now and stop making a snowman in the middle of the night.
He's like, I like hockey, but thanks for the harmonica.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we sort of get, the movie is very jarringly put together for the next 5 minutes because we find out, first of all, Henry Rollins, who somebody referenced earlier, is the kid's hockey coach.
Yes.
What is going on with his hair in this?
It was 1998.
But he has like a patch of gray in the back.
Yeah, he's like a white.
It's like a distinct square of gray. I thought that was like going to be something in the movie.
I thought his character was going to be something.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
What happened with his
character? He's known for doing
happened with his character?
He was just there for one joke.
This was his second appearance on the podcast, too, so you'd think it would be a little bit more
And
historic.
Here's the thing, like, they set it up before that hockey game. If there's any evidence that Michael Keaton was a terrible father, the kid's like, hey, you want to come to my hockey game? And somehow it came out that, like, Gus Travis was his head coach. He's like, Gus Travis is your head coach? That old asshole? Like, what kind of father doesn't know, like, who's his kid's hockey coach is?
Yeah, that was the only thing they really set up that said, like, that Michael Keaton was disconnected from his kid. Right.
Yeah, and he acted like he knew him, so it made you think that there was going to be
Later on in the movie, as a snowman, he recognizes.
Rivalry there.
Yeah. So they intercut. The dad's trying to, they're trying to hope that Jack Frost band is going to really about to take off and the kid's at hockey practice and
he doesn't make it to the game.
He doesn't make it to the game, you know.
Which is fine because the kids sucked.
Yeah, they lost 8-0. That's what I was saying after like,
can you even get more than 2 points in a hockey game?
He was all disappointed. It's like, oh good, Michael Keaton didn't show up so they could have won 8-1 instead maybe if he was there.
Yeah.
It's important that he's there, Brian. That's all that's important.
Well, and you also forget, I don't know if anybody remembers this. This reminded me of the very short window when Mark Addy was famous.
The guy from Full Monty, yeah.
The guy from Full Monty, mm-hmm. It was a really narrow window because he's essentially the third lead in this movie.
It was like 1998.
It was right then. Yeah, I was like, wow, all right. Yeah. You know, that's right. He was big at one point.
Mark Addy, you sure you didn't want to do a different movie in their little window of opportunity?
Yeah. And so then this whole controversy erupts where Michael Keaton gets a call. The record.
Well, he's promised. Let's set this up a little bit. Because he missed the hockey game, Michael Keaton decides to make up for it by saying, you know what? No cell phone, no band. You, me, mom, let's go to our cabin in the mountains. Apparently they own a cabin in the mountains. We're going to spend Christmas there this year. We're going to spend the whole weekend up there. You, me, mom, we're gonna bond. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then he gets the phone call.
Gets a phone call from the record label that's like, we're interested in signing you, but you need to perform in Aspen on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
At a party, or
it's a no-go.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
And
if I got a call like that, I would like definitely think it was like a trap.
But you know what, though?
It's a trap.
These people are trying to kill me.
I don't want to be down on the holiday spirit, but if a loved one told me, oh my God, I've got to miss Christmas because a once in a lifetime opportunity to do what I love and make lots of money doing it has landed in my lap, I would say, do it, brother. We'll celebrate Christmas next week. Do it.
Right. Well, yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to sound cruel, and the wife does kind of act that way. Yeah,
of course, the kid who's 12
the kid's
hours,
the one that
he's gonna be pissed.
The kid's basically the one that got his dad killed.
Well, but okay.
Bastard.
Well, and then this whole thing is so confusing because then Michael Keaton's like, even the kid is kind of like, all right, you know what? This is a once in a lifetime chance. They're like, okay, you got to go do this audition on Christmas on Day Christmas. With your band. Because
apparently the record the kid's executive a little upset doesn't care about Christmas either.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd much rather hear this crappy band than be with my family.
So Michael Keaton and the band start driving to the audition, get partway there, and just stop in the middle of the road and go, no, you know what? I don't think we're going to go and decide to turn back.
And all the rest of the band is like completely cool with it.
Yeah, yeah, no one wanted Christmas. To do it.
Like,
yeah,
band? Like no wonder everyone in the band is like 45 and still haven't made it big. Like,
yeah.
How many times has this happened?
And at this point,
it's our big break, and I don't feel like making the drive.
When at this point, I'm like, I have notes here. I'm like, this is a scripted movie. Like, why are you going through all these twists and turns? We just need to get Michael Keaton in a car accident that kills him.
Yeah. Well,
like,
and
is a really roundabout way to get there.
What I thought was going to happen, and I thought maybe it would be more interesting, because I'd seen this movie when I was a kid, and I know he dies in a car accident, but I couldn't remember when. Is if he was rushing to get to his son's hockey
game.
That's
why I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
And then he died. Then the son feels guilty because.
Exactly. That would have made
so much
more sense.
Why would you not do it
that way? I was actually watching this with my daughter.
Because then you have this.
And he's like, oh, he's going to die on the way to the hockey game.
Yeah,
that's the most logical assumption. I'm like,
when's he going to die then?
Because that's what I was thinking too.
On the way to the grocery store that night.
Yeah.
He slipped on some black ice. And
that would have given them more time to do some more snowman stuff later on by cutting out this entire unnecessary, superfluous chunk.
We did not need snowman stuff.
And it would have actually it would have given this movie some character arcs, which I'm going to blast into later. But
it would have been more interesting if the kid felt guilty about his father dying than his kid being angry at his father for...
Well, he should have felt guilty because he was the one that made Michael Keaton feel guilty for going to the
chance of a lifetime. I
don't
think he ever realized that.
Yeah.
What kind of band is this anyway? They've like in theory been like together for a long time, and now they're.
I got the sense they were together since high school. Like it's the small town band, and now it's their fine. Everyone in the town loves them, but they've never really branched out.
Probably because they only sing Christmas songs. Like, what are they going to do the other 11 months?
They're called
the
Jack Frost Band, after all.
The
so I think they kind of
narrows down.
The
question that I want answered that I was baffled about when I was watching is why does Mac have every vehicle he owns is powder blue?
I thought that too when he later on he has the truck.
Why is that?
It's the same color.
And this seems
it's a whole
like
theme.
I thought like he made the truck out of the wrecked car.
This seems like the least appropriate car.
I was thrown off by that.
Yeah. The car that he's driving, I don't know why anyone in Colorado would be driving this car. It's like a terrible, like, classic car.
Powder blue.
It's like a
boat.
Yeah.
And then later he's got a truck later on. It's powder blue.
It's like something out of Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. So Michael Keaton dies. He
of course.
Gets in a car crash.
Because the windshield wiper fails.
Yeah, parental death.
Because Mark Addy gives him his car and he drives back in the band's tour van.
And
he's like, hey, Michael Keaton, take my car with the broken windshield wiper.
Yeah. We may be onto something. That might be true.
It all makes so much sense.
But he was originally going to walk.
Because actually, that would... Would it
have been funny if Mark Addy watched him drive away and he's like, watch out for that windshield wiper.
Because that also would explain why neither Mark Addy or Kelly Preston has a character arc in this movie.
Right.
That was going to be their
turn.
Arc. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, the lighting gets all sinister, like from below.
This
is
like
Blood
Simple
in.
With snowmen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blood Simple.
Right. So
there's a scene of Michael Keaton crawling in the highway,
and
Mark Addy comes over
ending.
With a shovel and scraping it on the pavement.
It's a revenge movie.
So now we cut to
someone
1 year
to put
later.
You in the ground,
yeah, all of a sudden, oh, I love this. It's 1 year later, and it opens where we first introduced. It like re-shows us the exact same sequence where they introduce the son. The school bell rings. The teacher says,
he hasn't
"Merry
grown
Christmas."
All in a year.
He runs outside
and
goes to a snowball fight.
Still going.
But in this version, it's
man, they're serious about snowball fights. In school.
Yes, exactly. In this version, the bell rings. Merry Christmas, and he's like, "Yeah, whatever." And he's kind of walking slow. And the bully says, "Hey, Frost! Hey, Frost! You loser! Hey!" And he throws a snowball at him, and another kid says, "Forget it. It's no fun picking on him anymore since his old man died."
Yeah.
What kind of a line is that?
I know.
Well, the other bully goes, he should just get over it. I never knew my dad.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, he's not worth picking on anymore. So we can keep making fun of you.
And then, in a movie where this is the only time we see this, Jack Frost's son goes all Jaden Smith and After Earth on a snowbank, like trying to shovel the driveway.
He's been holding in for a year.
He starts flipping out with his frustration because trying to shovel a driveway.
The jerk who listens to the radio station that they made absolutely sure they reminded us only plays music from the 70s and the 90s. In fact, it was a line of dialogue that said it.
Yeah.
Is a jerk, and he like brushed all the snow into the kid's driveway after he plowed it up.
But then Kelly Preston comes home, and her sadness isn't really all that sad either.
No, she doesn't.
She's got to be a rock. Okay. She's got to be strong for him.
I want to see some sadness. I mean, your husband's dead.
Well, and we also never
and your
really...
kid's breaking down. I mean, it just seemed like it wasn't... The feeling wasn't there.
It all makes sense. Our alternate plot.
Yes, that's why. It does.
So she's like, hey, it's going to be okay. And he's like, okay. Like, this movie just sort of
yeah,
like... He's like, oh, okay,
she like pours
okay.
She like pours an entire bag of marshmallows into a hot cocoa cup and everything's okay.
I think too, but I think the movie didn't know what the audience was.
I didn't know, are
we going for adults? Or are we going for kids? What are we going for here?
I actually have that thought like halfway through the movie. I'm like, is this a kids movie?
It's a bipolar movie. We've had this problem before.
I want to give my theory on the movie because there's a couple of screenwriters. My theory is somebody gave them a screenplay where a dad comes back to life as a snowman.
And they're horror movie.
And they're like, horror movie. And I think it was what they joke about in screenwriting circles as an and then movie. Like, Indiana Jones, the Kingdom of Crystal Skull is a great and then movie. And then there's quicksand. And then he's swinging on a rope. And then a UFO takes off. Where nothing is character motivated. It's just like scenes.
Right.
Like a Michael Bay type of film.
A Michael Bay. So they buy that screenplay. And they then say to another writer, hey, okay, this is already greenlit. So now we need you to insert character arcs into it. But don't change any of the scenes because it's already greenlit. So some other terrible writer was kind of forced to attempt to make this movie make sense. And then I feel like a third writer came in and they were like, hey, punch it up a little. Give it a little. Punch up the one-liners and the drama and the one-liner.
And the penis and breast jokes.
Because it is. The movie is all over the place and there are no character arcs at all. It's just and then moments.
Yep.
And then the snowman's in a big chase scene. And then the snowman's teaching him how to play hockey. And then the snowman, you know.
I think there was more character depth than Sharknado.
I would agree.
And now we get to the snowman building sequence with Fleetwood Mac playing.
Some random
slow motion.
The music in this movie was very
90s and 70s.
When you use Fleetwood Mac's Landslide, if you're ever making a movie, do not use Fleetwood Mac's Landslide. What's the term you use when the music is like manipulating the audience?
Mickey
Mousing. Is that what it is, Mickey?
That's what it is.
When you use the music.
Oh, you're Mickey Mousing. Yes. When a scene seems to be written for the music. So for example, like in a bad comedy, say an overweight person's walking down the street and you hear like in a cartoon, like a Warner Brothers cartoon. That's often called Mickey Mousing with the music.
Yeah. And that's by using this. I was so mad at this movie as it's using the. I'm like,
ugh. Landslide's
the only
song.
Children's movie ever to have Landslide in the soundtrack.
And Slow Ride.
Slow Ride. Yep.
And the kid plays
Foghat.
The kid plays.
Mommy, what's Landslide about?
What's Fleetwood Mac's storyline like? The kid plays the harmonica, which makes the snowman somehow Michael Keaton's spirit is now in the snowman.
It's Christmas
magic.
So
let's talk about this for a second. Yeah. Michael Keaton gave the son the harmonica, saying it was magic.
But it was magic, I guess.
That's crazy. That's so stupid.
So by that logic, you can call anything magic.
You say Christmas, it's Christmas magic, but the thing is, through this whole movie, you never get this, anything really to do with Christmas.
Well, there's nothing, it's more a winter-themed movie, and he sings Christmas songs.
But and nothing else magic happens in the movie.
It's not magic Christmas or anything
like
that.
Yeah, this is one magic incident that seems to happen, and nothing else is...
Yeah, because at one point, I think Kelly Preston just say, tomorrow's Christmas. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. There might be a Christmas tree in the house set. I don't remember.
I don't think there is.
I don't even know if there is.
No, there is, yeah.
They're Jewish.
Yeah, yeah.
They could be Jewish. Why not?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just saying it wasn't like because of Christmas or... It wasn't like a really a Christmas-themed movie.
Not really. Well, and not really. But it's so, not a. And my problem with it was it's not like a fantasy or magic themed movie.
Right.
Not
at all.
It's just it's a very thing. It's a very grounded drama with a little magic thrown in.
This movie could have been like Ghost, where he comes back as like a snowman and then like.
Wait, you're saying he makes out with his son while making pottery? And then they could have had like
a slow motion scene where they're making like a snowman and he's holding her hands. And that would have been so good. Oh my gosh.
Because he looked down, he didn't have a penis. He was upset about that.
I know. I was waiting for a scene where like a cucumber was going to like drop into his.
I know.
His third ball.
Gone in the refrigerator and.
Yeah. And the best part for me, and when I knew this movie was off the rails, was Michael Keaton accepts his snowman identity
very quickly.
Instantly.
Very quickly.
He's like, right, all right to the point.
Well, he doesn't go through his 12 steps or his 3 steps.
Only because he says he does, not because we see it.
Within 10 seconds of becoming a snowman, he's cracking one-liners about being a snowman.
Especially about his balls. And let the ball jokes fly, ladies and gentlemen. Just let them fly.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. The effects were good. I thought.
I think it varied shot to shot.
Well, the CG shots were weaker. Yeah. But the prosthetic snowman didn't look bad to me. I thought that looked... I mean, it was a ridiculous thing to do, but it looked good for what it was.
Yeah.
The prosthetic one, the CG was... The CG was a little shaky.
They did use it sparingly. They didn't go with a 100% CG snowman. They only used it for wide shots, for the snowball...
By the way, this was an $85 million movie in 1998. Really? That's a lot of money.
$85 million on it?
$85 million. And you have to think about this. Because, I mean, Michael Keaton's kind of career was in a decline at that point. So I don't think Michael Keaton was getting paid. I mean, he's the lead. He probably didn't make more than $5 million. Kelly Preston wasn't a star. Mark Addy was, you know, again, we're in a very narrow window of him. So
it was like
none
a spike.
of that money.
There's only like 4 sets.
Yeah, none of that money went to stars. Probably
the animatronic snowman.
Buying the rights to all the rock songs at Fleetwood Mac music.
I don't. Yeah, and the CGI.
So if he had just
know.
Like inherited, if he had just like possessed a car and they called it "My Father the Car" and didn't have to worry about all that.
A lot easier.
It would have been like a $10 million movie.
Yeah,
My Father the Car.
Yeah. We now get about 20 minutes of just one-liners, like, and they're the kind of one-liners that you would expect from, like, you know, those sitcoms they put on Saturday mornings, like Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah,
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
They're like those kind of
jokes.
With laugh tracks. Like a snowplow like hits him and pushes him down the road, and Michael Keaton's like, "Hey, thanks for the lift."
Like a dog pees on him.
Yeah, a dog pees on him. Hey, what are you doing? Yeah.
Like in Ghost Dad.
They're not even really like jokes. They're just sort of like terrible punchlines to
There's one joke that I kind of thought was funny because it was kind of poking fun at the movie itself. Where he goes,
in the town.
Yeah, when he's walking through the town trying to come to grips with it all, and he goes, "Why a snowman? Is it because the name's Jack Frost? That's not clever."
Right.
Yeah,
I heard that. I laughed at that. Was like,
kind of funny.
Yeah.
Self-recognition there.
And the son is seeing him out the window and is like bugging out.
Yeah.
It's really nothing to talk
and
about.
And he pushes
here.
A sleeping Mark Addy against the door to keep him
basically, the only
outside.
Thing to really mention here is the Henry Rollins scene.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Which, by the way, we're talking...
Because it's his one...
There's a snowman just walking down the middle of Main Street. If you thought the town was desolate and Masters of the Universe, forget this. Not about unobservant people living nearby.
Talking to himself out loud.
There's not even like an obligatory. I was expecting like a generic shot of like a hobo like looking at a bottle of rum and throwing it away when he sees the snowman.
I know. I was like, I was expecting it. It was gonna be such like a cliche, but I'm like,
and
they're
that's
definitely
easy.
Gonna
I feel
do
like
this.
And
no
that's like easy. That's like
that
that's
town.
Like first grade right there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's the instant joke that you'd be like, oh, anybody could write that.
Yeah.
And they didn't even do that one. But they had no shame in doing other very, like, ad water jokes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As I said, they have Henry Rollins just seeing a snowman.
And it's one of his few. He's only got, like, 3 scenes in the movie.
Instead of running the friggin' thing over, he backs away.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't sure if he was supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy in this movie.
I think it was just kind of neutral.
I don't think we ever found out.
I think he was a good coach for his son and was just afraid of snowmen.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. No character arc there.
So now Michael Keaton as a snowman starts starts peering in the windows of the home, like creepily. With again, no neighbors or anyone
spying
being
on
like,
his wife.
"Hey, what the hell?"
Moving.
Yeah. And the kid, his son, sees him, and Michael Keaton talks to his son, but the kid is freaked out.
Shockingly, understandably so.
Yeah, because the snowman is talking to him.
And he's, because Mark Addy's watching him for the night, and he falls asleep, and then he pushes Mark Addy and a bunch of furniture against the door to keep the snowman out. And then when his mom comes home, she's like, what the hell is going on? He's like, the snowman's alive! And she, like, looks outside, and it's like Michael Keaton's like, okay, stand still, so she doesn't notice.
Why does Michael Keaton... I know in the movie they're like, oh, Michael Keaton's too embarrassed to be a snowman, so he doesn't want his wife to see her. Why? But that really doesn't make sense.
Right.
That Michael Keaton doesn't want to talk to his wife.
Right. Yeah. I would have been at one point, but like, I'm talking to my wife.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a talking snowman.
It is what it
Deal
is.
You're going to believe me because I'm talking to you, so you're going to believe me.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I am a snowman.
Why would, in theory, I be a talking snowman and pretend to be your husband?
Right.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to get any fringe benefits of it anyway.
Right. I don't have a penis, so.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't
it's
come in
It's holiday magic. Just accept it.
So.
But I do have balls.
Balls.
Three big ones.
And so, what happens next? Okay, is this where the kid...
So, the kid, he's talking to the snowman the next day, in the morning, just in his front yard, talking to the snowman, and he just walks away from me and gets angry about it because he doesn't believe it, and he walks
doesn't
away.
Doesn't he also believe him because he has his dad's voice?
Right, yeah. He just doesn't believe him.
Yeah.
So
and he knows, it's Michael Keaton's voice.
He walks away, and he ends up at another snowball fight.
Meanwhile, the Guinness Book of World Records is there commemorating the longest consecutive snowball fight in the world.
Still going
this
on.
He gets an award for that.
1,073 days breaks the old record from Norway.
And
the little girl, he won't save the little girl because he's upset.
Yeah, the little girl's like, is this little girl getting murdered?
There's this little girl character in the movie that I thought would be something too. Like maybe she'd get in trouble and like be out on the ice or something. And then
the kid
can't save her, so the snowman rescues her. And then the town sees the living snowman or whatever. That would have been an interesting.
I think they don't show it, but I think there's a POW camp for this snowball fight. And like the real fear is like this kid could end up
walk down, walk down.
So Jack Frost joins the fight and starts slinging snowballs from over a hill, I guess.
And all of a sudden he realizes he has these snow powers.
Yeah, Jack Frost, who's been a snowman for about 5 hours, realizes that he can make and whip 1,000 snowballs in a minute.
Yeah.
And just learns this apparently as he's doing it.
Right. And he also doesn't know. And he also, this is the first time he ever found out that his poor son is getting assaulted by snowballs at the end of every single school day.
Well, apparently everyone is.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe this is
maybe
the town.
It's freaking Normandy outside the school.
Not only assaulted by snowballs, but he's like thrown over a cliff at the end of the scene, too.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm saying about these factions. They're freaking serious.
I know. This is like, Jesus. You could make a case that Normandy was safer than the backyard of this school.
Maybe that's why no one lives in this town. Yeah. It's a nice place, except 8 people die a year from snowball fights. Leading cause of death, snowballs.
So he's whipping these snowballs, and then he runs out of snow.
Not really, though.
All he had to do was move. Well,
yeah, all he had to do was move like 5 feet to the left.
He's like, I'm out of snowballs, run!
I'm out of ammunition, even though the whole town is covered in snow.
So the kid gets up against a cliff. Up against a cliff, and these 8th graders aren't going to let him go. They're like, yeah, go!
It becomes really like,
anywhere now, they keep
fucking... It gets all like Lord of the Flies all of a sudden.
And then
he
falls
off. Kill or be killed in a vicious snowball fight.
He falls off the cliff, and he like grabs a tree root. And,
except then when they show the actual long shot, he's only like 5 feet above the ground. It's like, he could just drop down.
He's just going to twist his ankle at worst.
But the kids are still like... laughing at him and hoping he falls. It's not like, okay, this has gone far enough. Let's help
him. Maybe he'll join his dad. Okay.
Say hi to your dad.
Can we have some more Landslide, maybe? Stevie Nicks? Another song here?
So Jack Frost, of course, saves a kid, and they go snowboarding or sledding away.
A snowman on a sled with a kid. Going down a hill, being chased by other kids, like we're in a James Bond movie opening.
Literally,
chased by a snowboard posse.
It probably had the same stunt
team.
Yeah. And again, Michael Keaton willing to kill a bunch of kids.
Oh, and not to mention, one of the bullies who's chasing them openly sees, not hidden at all, a snowman just starts whipping snowballs at him, clocking this kid in the head who's watching this. Right. And he then falls up. Like, what do you think that kid's night was like? No. I just saw a living snowman whip stuff at me.
I really wanted someone to just, like, you know, be the peacekeeper here and, like, kind of put things in perspective and be like, listen, guys, like, what are we really fighting about here? Like, people might die and...
like a Henry Kissinger. Right,
it was just a snowball fight and it's escalating into, like, a high-speed chase down a hill. Like,
and it's,
let's just take a step back here.
And this is a heck of a hill. This chase scene is, like, pod race length. Oh, I mean, yeah. It goes on forever.
Yeah, like, they must be... They're, like, in, like, North Dakota by the time this ends.
And then in the middle, like, we might be losing some adults. Just throwing a boob joke.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Get those adults back into it.
Yeah. He gets hit by two snowballs, so it looks like he has...
He plays with them. So bad. Somehow along the way, someone creates two gigantic snowballs. And
how do they
have time to create these snowballs, number one?
They're
gigantic. Them in their arsenal.
Unless they're ready. Yeah, they're ready,
like,
for this.
And when you say gigantic, I mean,
they're bigger than Yeah, they're bigger than the boulder from Indiana Jones.
Lost Ark. Yeah.
And one of them, the snowman and the kid go down into like a culvert or something. And one of the snowballs rolls and blocks it so the bullies can't get them. So these two kids like come up and they stop just before the snowball. And they stand up, they're like, whew, that was close. And another giant snowball comes rolling over the hill and crushes these kids
They may be dead.
Against.
The snowball is here, like, the camera shakes. And
the casualties of war.
Did you notice they had to show a scene of them getting out of the snowball because of the concern? Like, if they didn't show that scene, people would be like, oh, did those kids just die?
Did they show that?
Yeah.
They never seen that.
Yes, they did.
It's like the scene when animals get hurt and they have to show, like, the dog, like, shaking it off after.
I kind of thought it was like the A-Team. Like, when the A-Team shoots a bazooka and a jeep, and then you see like a guy getting out. I'm like, wow, that was
same thing, like James Bond movies. Like, if he's being chased by cops and cop cars flip over, they have to show the cops getting out. Like, oh, James Bond didn't kill any cops, but
yeah.
I was like, there's no way those kids were okay.
They are not okay.
Yeah. No way.
They just show a shot of them motionless on the ground. Okay, they are dead. All right. At least we know.
And then the sled splits in two, and they keep on going still.
How did it?
Another snowboarding.
I think they just like hit a tree, and they were like leaned left and right, and the thing split in half or something, right?
Oh, this is where
Batmobile.
Jack Frost just like hits the sled, and it just like splits into two.
Oh, okay.
And they're like snowboarding.
But this is where you get the line too, where he goes,
"You're the snowman.
You're the man." He goes, "No, I'm the snowman. You're the man."
But then after the chase is over, even after that cute exchange, after the chase is over, the kid is still like, "You're not my dad. Leave me alone."
Let's talk
but
about
you just
that
had
for
a bonding
second.
Moment.
Well, no,
let's talk about this for a second. So the kid can accept there is a living, talking snowman who's interacting with me, but to say...
Who has his dad's voice.
But it is too far. He's like, you know what? I'll go that far, but I'm not going to believe it's my dad.
He did also make a good point there where he said, "You just almost got me killed."
Oh, that is a solid point.
Yeah, because he started the snowball fight.
Yeah, that is
ended
true.
In a high-speed chase.
No, in fairness, that snowball fight has been going on since 1982, so right. He never started. He
finished
added
it.
Added to it, yeah.
So
he calls him Charlie Boy. Then it's like, wait.
Then he knows this is
my dad.
Yeah. It's not enough that he's a that talking version. Snowman with his dad's voice. It's Charlie Boy. Like, isn't his name Charlie? Like, is that a big stretch?
Yeah.
It's not like
hey,
Butt Boy? Butt Boy?
That would have been the our
Dad.
Version.
Dad?
Yeah.
That would have been our version. Codass. Would you call me?
No, that's original. You would know for sure that.
The music swells.
And this movie
snow hug.
Is missing a scene, and I don't know how this scene is not really in the movie, where the kid is essentially just psyched that his dad is back. We never really have that scene
that
in
feeling,
the movie.
Right,
how do you not put...
Right, because the very next day, his dad's going to follow me. He's like, don't follow me.
Yeah.
It's like, chill out, dude. It's your dad's back, and you're like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Buzz off, dad. I got to go into town.
The kid wouldn't care. He'd go into town with the snowman and be like, it's my dad, it's my dad. And then all the other kids would be like, you must be crazy. Say
well,
he freezes when other people look at him or something.
If your dad came back, you might want to spend the day with him.
Yeah.
I would think so.
I think most people, if you said, like, one of your deceased loved ones could come back as a snow person, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is.
And wouldn't the government want access to this technology? Yeah. Soldiers that can't die. They can fire 150 snowballs a minute. The government should have been after him.
Yeah, they should have.
So he's
going to town for some reason.
I can't remember why.
Yeah, why did he go to town?
The only reason he's just going to town.
He just ends up dragging
and then his
Jack
buddy,
Frost
and then his buddies see him. Then his buddies see him and they're like, that kid's so crazy he ditched us for a snowman.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, he's going to the secret spot. He went to the secret spot.
Oh, because he wants to learn the J shot.
Oh, yeah.
The Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
What is that spot? It's like pond, but like there's that like cave that looks like it goes on for miles.
Yeah, it's impressive.
This stuff is just weird. I mean, this is where the movie
I thought
really
maybe that's where he
weird.
Went off the road and
why
had like
a
makeshift memorial there.
It literally looks like the Fortress of Solitude.
Or maybe the village square in the middle of the night, because clearly nobody's out in the middle of the night but Henry Rollins, who's already gone nuts from seeing the snowman.
Hey, good to see you. Working on your shot.
So where Dad now teaches his son...
Dad the snowman.
With
Dad
makeshift snowman, hockey sticks.
With just a stick, the J
and
shot.
And some puck-shaped rocks.
Which he didn't have time to teach him when he was living.
Right.
As a person.
Right. They didn't even know the kid's a hockey coach, so why would he?
Right. So he teaches the kid this J shot.
Which I guess J stands for Jack. Is it the Jack shot?
Well, no, it's the motion of it's the motion of
the shot.
That's what I thought
it was. The motion is like a J.
You curl it back and then shoot it.
Oh, okay. That's true. Yeah.
Read into it whatever you want. I don't know.
Is this a real hockey movie?
I'll be honest. Well, I actually was playing hockey as a kid when this movie came out, and I tried it, and I can tell you that it doesn't work. I mean, I wasn't very good, which might have been part of it, but I don't think it's a solid plan to be a good hockey player.
It also takes a long time to... It's one of those slowest developing shots I've ever seen in my life.
You curl it back, and then
by then, the defense is like, it's a J shot!
yeah, you normally don't get 10 seconds to wind up.
Watch out! Get out of the way!
This guy came back from the dead to teach him that.
So the kid has to go to his hockey game. Like the kid goes to his hockey game.
Well, that's later.
Or is that way? Okay.
Yeah,
it's not that much later. But
well, it's not much later. But yeah.
So they do the J shot.
They go home
and immediately get in another fight.
Yeah.
About.
Yes. Well, you know, he goes inside and.
So why did you?
Well, he gets angry.
He's inside.
He gets angry because
apparently
they get
snowman
home.
Still eats normal
yeah,
food.
Yeah, he must eat.
Right,
so
right,
they go
right,
inside
right,
and
he makes him a
all
sandwich.
Windows open. Nothing happens there really.
No, nothing.
Mom comes home and he comes up with some bizarre lie that he was building an igloo in the kitchen.
There's a lot of, a lot of filler, and a lot of it always involves Kelly Preston. Like, scenes we are like, what?
Yeah, because then she says, I need Mac to talk to my kid, and Mac takes him to the...
Shiver Fest.
It sounds like a horror
some
fest.
More kind of, they try,
and they're playing
they
rock and roll Hanukkah.
Something.
Well, we got to talk about this. Let's talk about Mac's storyline for a minute. Okay, Mac is Michael Keaton's bandmate.
And a hardware salesman.
And it works in a hardware store.
Well, gave up music.
Which I guess.
I was thinking,
was the day the music died.
Well, here.
When Jack Frost died, that was the day the music died. Bye bye, Mr. American Pie.
Why didn't they use that song in the movie?
Bye bye, Mr. American
Miss Emma.
Miss.
Mr. American Pie.
Okay. There's so many things wrong.
Bye
there.
Bye, Mr. American.
Very formal.
Miss American. I'm sorry. I
just think actually it's just bye American Pie.
Bye
Mr. American.
It's definitely not a Mr. I can tell you. Wrong one. I'm sorry. Wrong pseudonym or whatever it's called.
Pseudonym. Now, how did cold medicine get brought into this?
Surname, pseudonym, whatever it's called.
Surname.
What's it called?
Pseudonym?
Pseudonym?
Just a prefix.
Prefix? Yeah. No, that's like 315.
No.
That's an area code!
Oh my God. All right, let's get back on
Andy's grasp of the English language.
So let's talk about this Mac character. So Mac,
deteriorated in front of our
Mac is Michael Keaton's friend who...
Can we get Don McLean on this podcast?
He's available. I think he's available.
He might be.
And he... Then he just kind of keeps showing up in the movie where he and Kelly Preston are friends. Kelly Preston kind of has.
And you're trying to wonder. You're wondering if he is macking on her at one point. Like, is he trying to? He's trying to, or is it just a good friend?
But they seem to just play him as a good friend.
Yeah,
and like trying to like help out with raising the kid. And then it comes out during this scene, like, oh, I don't play music anymore. You know, since your dad died. There's a line in here where he says, "Oh, I really lost my groove," and I'm like. This is a really weird character arc, which is totally separate from anything else happening
right.
in this movie,
right.
which then literally goes nowhere.
Nowhere.
Until
the very
it.
End.
At least it is a character
But what
arc,
happened that got him his groove back?
I don't know. He wasn't really grooving in the end. It looked like he's
struggling.
At
the very end of the movie, you see him playing a piano. You see him playing a piano, but nothing has happened.
He's getting laid by the Frost Widow. That's why.
Well, I don't know. He has no interactions with the snowman. In fact, at the time the movie's over, he doesn't even know there has been a living snowman.
Right.
But he's playing... this is the most shoehorned in character arc. Mm-hmm. I laughed hysterically when I saw him playing the piano at the end. I'm like, where did this come from?
To not meet the snowman and get his goodbyes or whatever.
No events.
Like,
nothing...
if he got to see snowman, got the goodbyes, and Jack was like, or like he didn't help play his... on, my friend. I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't life, let the friend. Music die, Mr. American Pie. Yeah.
Then it'd be like, okay, but...
It's like Swing Away, Meryl.
Yeah, no events, nothing happens in the movie that would change him, away. And yet there's
play
this
on, Mac.
Forced arc.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay.
Play it again, Mac. Play it again.
It would have made more sense, again, if like there was a thing between him and Kelly Preston, and like they wanted to be together, but they felt like they couldn't be.
Because of goodbyes and all, right.
And Charlie would feel like, you know, it was, he wouldn't be okay with it. And then at the end, it was like,
I really
Michael Keaton convinced him, like, oh, it's okay, be a family.
I have to think that in an earlier draft of the script, it was going there, and someone pulled it out because they were like, they wanted to like simplify it or make it more family. But like, I have to think that was in an
more
earlier
ball
draft.
Jokes.
I know, more one-liners.
Less sex, more balls.
More snowball fights. we can't do that storyline. We're taking away from crucial snowball fight footage.
The fourth snowball fight scene is the most important.
Critical.
You can't cut it.
So now the kid does, we're probably at the point where the kid has a hockey game and Michael Keaton's like, oh man, I don't want to miss another hockey game. And the kid is even like,
yeah,
you're a snowman.
Yeah, you don't.
It's cool.
Be there.
It's cool.
I mean, it would have been cool.
There's
if
a
you
heat
came
wave going
living,
on right now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
don't.
It's like 50 degrees, and he's still.
No, it's like,
there.
It's like
yeah.
70 degrees.
Yeah, it might hit 70 today.
Yeah.
You really don't have to come, snowman dad, to my hockey game.
Snow dad.
Right, be a little awkward.
Yeah.
Somebody might see you standing there.
Yeah. It would be
just
a little
sitting
awkward.
There in the stands, Jerry.
But not as awkward as having the family dog pull the snowman on a sled across town.
Because there
seemingly.
Might be poodles at the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another joke.
And it just... that one was...
Like the dog understands that.
The dog understands snowman language. And so the snowman walks into the hockey arena.
Slid into it.
Slides into a hockey arena, watches the game.
Across. By the way, I love that. They're trying to show that like the asphalt is too warm for a snowman, so it's like literally steaming. It's like it's only 70 degrees out.
Right.
Snow doesn't
and
steam
still
as
snow
it melts
the
when there's
And in the editing, this is one of the worst edited sequences I've ever seen. It is not clear if the kid knows that his dad saw him play in the game or
he sees
not.
Him at the end.
He sees him at the end of the game, but like it's not clear if the kid is even
aware
that he's there.
Well, he's only there for like the last 2 minutes. I mean,
right.
Not
yeah,
even.
He's still
there for like the last
it.
Shot. And then he goes, great game. I was like, you're only there for the last shot.
Oh, yeah, Dad?
The last
what
possession.
I do in the first period.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, you're just getting around.
Yeah.
Same old thing, Dad. Same old thing.
you show up for overtime.
Here's your fucking
you might
be dog.
Three balls of snow now, but same old Dad. Same old Jack Frost.
And so.
There you go, Mel already, asshole.
So now the kid, you know, they talk after the game, and the kid's like...
Did you guys also say I like the part where, like, right after the game, they on the... I thought this was going to lead somewhere, too, but they're like, the rink is now open for open skate.
Yeah.
And they just feel like, everybody pile onto the ice skating. I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
well, I guess that was just...
Why did they say
they
could have
just...
Well,
the only reason was
I thought he was going to go on the ice then and, like, skate and stuff, like the snowman.
That's right. What he wanted. That's the only reason was because he's like, oh, you're melting. We got to get you on the ice. And like, oh...
Oh, is
no.
that why?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's open skating.
I didn't even realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I didn't even... Okay.
Yeah, the kid was like, we got to get you on the ice. You're melting. He's like, oh, no, there's people out there. What are we going to do? That's why.
Okay.
It was
again,
like, wow, that's
I don't
great
mean to deflate
that they
your
joke. No, I just thought it was
we're
funny.
Still
which,
super
again,
dumb.
Is another point. We're like, this is a scripted movie. Why?
They could have just said,
like, or they could have just they could have just said, like, let's stay in the rink because in theory, like,
it's still cold.
It's colder.
It's not like it's, I mean, if it was warm enough, the ice would have just melted.
Yeah. Or you could just have, like, a Zamboni going around and been like, well, we can't go on the ice because there's a Zamboni driver.
They would never be like, as the team's getting off the ice, be like, okay, open skating, go.
And they really hang on that shot for a while, too. There's like 40
that's what
kids
was so
just
odd about
awkwardly
it.
Walk out on the ice.
Like I said, they made like a poor like 50 extras show up to this crappy movie and skate around.
So
and we should say the bully, too, took a break from the snowball fighting to play in this game. He's a rival
that's
guess,
right,
on, the,
that's
on
right.
the ice, too, which is important.
That's
he
right.
Wouldn't,
be
on, wouldn't they be on the same team?
Which
they
didn't
go to the
make
same
that
school?
Clear.
That
kinda...
kid was Sidney Crosby.
Is he like from another school or something?
I don't think it's like a school.
No, yeah, but they never made that clear, even really.
But then they're
that's
from
not,
the same town, so they'd be
he's
in the
on
same
their
town
team.
League.
until like what was it, kind of one shot after the score, you kind of see the kid.
I don't understand. Youth hockey, but I would imagine wouldn't they? No, they made clear
because they faced off during the face off.
Well, I didn't know it was him. Tell you the truth, yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, didn't recognize him without his spiky hair and his X Games goggles.
Yeah, I didn't really.
You were probably asleep at that point.
I was awake the whole time.
So at this point, the kid
in the car
was
driving the whole time.
And the kid who I don't want to bust on this kid too much. I mean, he's a kid. He's trying to hold this, you know, the acting of this kid.
Yeah, it's not.
He's actually not bad.
He's forced to do a scene here that it's really worse on the direction and editing. But just a scene where he runs outside, and you can actually process in his acting. He's like, "What do I do? My dad's a snowman. Needs someplace cold. I'm gonna look at some mountains. Mountains are cold. Okay." Yes. All right. Back in to get my dad the snowman.
The mountains look like they're 100 miles away.
I know.
Yeah. And we have to talk about the Bowie's character arc.
Oh my God.
I could not stop laughing. This is the shortest arc ever. This is ridiculous.
Wow.
So they see a truck full of Christmas trees, or a Christmas tree truck that's clearly going back up into the... I don't know why I'm saying that.
I mean, clearly the trees came from that area, so when you chop them down and put them in a truck, bring them right back?
Yeah.
I mean, it said pine...
No one brought these trees, let's just bring them back.
Pine Top Trees Farms or something like that on it, so clearly it's going back.
I guess, yeah. And
I mean, you know what'd be funny in the movie is if
it's going
like,
down to Mexico.
If they got in there and then the truck just went like two blocks and stuff.
So they got it. They got to get.
It would better find like a refrigerated truck or something instead of.
I thought like an ice cream truck or something would have been, but well, so they've got to get the snowman and the kid can't get the snowman up into this truck, so the bully comes over. The bully starts making fun of the kid.
Well, he's angry because he got beaten in the hockey game, and he's going to beat him up. He said, "Well, you and I are going to fight." And the kid's like, "I don't have time to fight with you right now."
The kid's like, I guess so much else going on.
My snow dad.
You only knew.
Yeah, I got a lot of logistics to work out with this right now. And then the snowman, like Michael Keaton, then talks to the bully.
Which creeps him out.
Which creeps the bully out, but then...
Not very much, though.
Instantly, much. Then the bully's like, "You know what? Now we're friends."
You're okay.
Like, you know what it's like not to have a dad. Yeah. Well, this is my dad.
And I'm like, this is how...
So wait, do you mean to tell me your mom had sex with a snowman?
Yeah. So the
he literally went from, "I'm going to beat you up," to, "See you later, buddy," in 90 seconds.
Yeah. It's almost like 20 seconds. Yeah. So, and I'm like, okay. So the bully helps lift the snowman into the truck. Jack, you know, Michael Keaton, snowman, and his son do end up in the mountains where they jump out of a moving truck.
Again.
Wow.
Again, more putting your
James
son in danger.
Spy stuff.
Yeah. Not good.
I did laugh at, I don't know, the scene where the mother goes to the hardware store to find Mac, and he's like sharpening some skates or whatever, and she runs up to him and goes, "Charlie ran away with the snowman," and Matt goes, "Ha ha ha," and she's like, "No, I'm serious." And they're like, "Oh!" And they run out of the store. It was like,
and then why is Mac okay? Well, that scene doesn't make sense because Mac doesn't come back in.
Right. No, he goes home with her.
Yeah,
and then she gets a call from Michael Keaton, and then she goes up alone.
Right. Why
is he not there?
Like, what? Yeah. Why did she go? What is the point of that scene in the hardware store? There's no point to it. He is not involved in the rescue at all.
Right.
And some poor old man didn't get his skate sharpened.
Yeah. Yeah. His boss at the hardware store is like, "This is the last time you get this living snowman stuff with me."
Listen, I took a chance on you when I hired you, but this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, musicians are flaky, so.
Yeah. So now Michael Keaton's snowman and his son are up in the mountains, and if you're thinking the scene of a snowman kissing a young boy is creepy, yes it is. Yes it is. It is 100% as creepy as you would think it would be.
Good night, butt boy.
Yeah. And so Michael Keaton, so they're at the, we should mention, somehow they managed to jump off the truck right by the family's cabin.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just the way they planned it.
Yeah, which worked out well.
They knew the route of that truck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've been casing that truck for the past few weeks.
So the kid goes into the cabin and Michael Keaton's like, "I gotta stay out here." And
He calls mom.
In
a scene very reminiscent of Frosty the Snowman, where he takes the girl to the greenhouse.
I was thinking the same thing. It's kind of like...
Were you going to say outhouse?
No. It sounded like that's where you were going with that.
I got more class than that.
Jenny has to poop.
And then we kind of cut to the next morning.
Yeah, the kid gets up and goes out and talks to Snowman.
This dialogue, in a movie full of crazy dialogue, this dialogue is amazing. Because the kid comes out, he's like, Dad, it's Christmas. We're here. We're together. And the dad's like, you're Snowman Michael. He's like, you're right. This is the best Christmas ever. Anyway,
gotta go.
See you later.
Like, what? And how does he know he's gotta go?
Yeah. Why did he have to go?
Yeah, why does he have to go?
He can basically live forever in the mouth.
Yeah. It's December. There's like three more months of winter.
Yeah. I'll spend Christmas with you, all right? Yeah.
He can live for an eternity in the mountains.
What? I know.
This is the second Christmas in a row you're going to lose me. Sorry.
Merry Christmas.
Couldn't wait till St. Patrick's Day.
What? And here's my question. Why does he have to go?
He must have sent you.
Well, I mean, he thinks he wants everybody to go on with their lives. I mean, that's
okay. Yeah, but
what you want? But why?
How does he know that he can even leave?
After New Year's?
Then why did he? Then why did he arrive here as a snowman? Okay, here's my question. What was accomplished in his time as a snowman?
He could have just melted and saved everyone the trouble.
As simple as say so they could say goodbye and move on with their lives.
I love too that.
I disagree. I think the only thing he did was teach a kid how to make a weird hockey shot. And he's like, you know what? That was my wife's work. I'm out of here.
Why bring him all the way to the mountains anyways if you're already melting? I mean, you could just say, look, I got to go. Obviously, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Move on with your life.
I'm a snowman.
Instead of let's go all the way to the mountains then.
My life is a living hell. I'm a snowman.
It's so weird.
Just let me die.
I laugh too because at one point during the scene, he gives Charlie the harmonica. And he's like, here, and he gives it to him. He's like, where was he holding that?
When did he get it back?
When did you get it? Because it was in Charlie's room,
yeah,
I assume.
Why did he? Yeah, Charlie had it last
Did he go in there before he went to the hockey game? He, like, charged in the... Or did he have the dog go get it? Or I don't
maybe
know.
The dog...
And he, like, shoved it in his snow and in one of his balls, and then was like, here.
He put it in his sack.
Yeah. So then Kelly Preston shows up, and... For reasons that are still not unclear, Michael Keaton briefly turns from a snowman into ghost Michael Keaton so he can talk to
just
Kelly
like
Preston.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then he has a great line where he's like, I'll always hear what you have to say, which I'm like, read as, if there's a sequel, I'm in it. And then he's like, got it, and I'm out of here.
And you better not ever have sex with anyone else. Because I'll hear it.
Yeah,
I'm always watching you, bitch.
Yeah. And that's it. Movie over.
Yeah.
So let's go through this.
Yeah.
What are the characters? Let's talk.
Except for that scene where Mark Addy is playing a piano.
Oh, yeah. Again. And then a random scene of Mark Addy playing a piano.
Yeah.
And the dog is running out. What happens in the
end? Yeah, like the dog like runs out and it like follows the dog
then they always pull back
like
to the town.
30
because
seconds.
Because the production designer was so proud of this town, they decided to use it as the backdrop of the credits.
But why follow the dog out? I don't understand.
Why spend all the money for a miniature in the end of the frickin' movie?
I don't know. I
didn't need that.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Cut down to an $80 million.
Because they didn't have an ending. The movie has no ending. I think they're like, we need to put a button on this, but there is no. Like, not, there are. There, okay.
We need
there's
to put
no
a button.
Story to undo that town or anything. So to pull back.
Shouldn't the movie end
town?
With like 1 year later and it's like New York and some kid makes a snowman and the snowman's eyes open up and that's. Oh, not again! And it like cuts to black.
I would make a strong case that there is only one character in this movie where the events of the movie change that character, and that character grows or advances from the movie. I think there's only one character who actually has an arc. And
the dog.
And it's a laughable
dog.
One. The bully.
Oh, it's the bully.
The bully. I think the bully is the only character at the end of the movie. Events from the film have changed him.
Yeah.
No one else is any different.
Even though the change was instantaneous.
Yeah, it's instantaneous.
At least there is a change.
Yeah. That's it. This is.
Yeah,
this
and then they show the bully like playing hockey with the son out in the driveway.
Yeah, the bully and the kid are now friends.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't even notice he was out there.
Yeah.
Does Henry Rollins ever resolve his horrifying fear of snowmen?
Nope. Never seen in the movie again. We don't know why Mark Addy wants to play music again. Kelly Preston is no different than she was at
Kelly
the beginning.
Kelly Preston's just living her life.
She's flatlined for the whole movie. Michael Keaton doesn't really seem to know why he came back as a snowman, but he decided his time was up as a snowman.
And then he's just gone.
So, great stuff.
Yeah, I remember seeing this too when I was a kid and being incredibly depressed for like 4 days.
Yeah,
it
was too.
It's
such
very
a depressing.
Depressing.
Like, wow.
It's like
father died.
Like, if it's a kid's movie, why couldn't they have just like had him? Like, I understand if you're making like an adult movie, you like that would be like the thing to do at the end, being like, you guys got to move on, you know, I got to go now.
Yeah.
It's been fun, but you got to live your life. But when it's a kids movie, why not just have the snowman stick around and
again,
have
it end with them all?
It's got to be like Old Yeller. It's got to make you leave the theater wanting to slice your wrists open.
They knew what they're making. They didn't know what audience they're going for.
Yeah.
If it was a kids movie, you would do that. You'd be like, oh, hey, kid.
Or like, I'll be back again now. Next year.
Oh, we're going to slide again. Yeah. And they're all three or
maybe that's his destiny.
Or he gets a second chance and it goes back a year before and he's like, oh, I'm
or alive. Like that.
Somehow there was something even magic with that. Right. Or
and
something.
Nobody believes him. Like it was all a dream or something. Like he wakes up in the car and he runs home. Where were you? Oh, we were so worried about you. Yeah. Oh, I haven't missed Christmas.
A Christmas carol.
Yeah.
It would be like
I haven't
the Masters of the Universe.
Or the Masters of the Universe.
Time travel comes in.
So the entire movie was pointless.
He could have been wearing a goofy nightgown.
Yeah.
He should have just said, like, this car is a time machine with a flux capacitor. And they're like, oh, okay.
I really think, like I was saying earlier, I think a terrible script was bought where some executive was just like, ooh, CGI snowman. Like, I think that was it. I think that was the whole, ooh, I like a CGI snowman. That sounds fun. And that was it. And they never really developed it.
No, it's funny that Cody and I had, like, similar experiences seeing this movie as kids because I was the same way. Like, I came away with him thinking, like, wow, I feel really sad.
Really?
I was like a 11, 12-year-old kid at the time. It's like, that really didn't put me in the Christmas spirit. I'm going to go home and lie in my bed and sip hot cocoa for the next
have it a good cry. Have a
this,
good cry.
This movie was a huge
cry over some.
Well,
it's
true.
Homework.
I mean, because like I on Netflix, the description came up and Liana was reading it and she's like, "What? The guy dies in a car crash? Just dies in a tragic car crash? Like, what kind of movie is that? I don't want to watch that."
Yeah,
and it's like, I kind of don't want to either. I mean,
well, I was hesitant to watch it again because I'm like, I remember being really depressed about it when I watched the first time. Like, I kind of don't want to watch this again. Like,
now it's just funny.
Yeah.
And it was a huge box office bomb. I mean, this made like $17 million on an $85 million budget. So, huge dud.
For almost 5 stars on Netflix, though.
What?
Yeah.
I think that's recommended for you. I think that's what those stars are. So he must be watching really bad Christmas movies because that's like based on what you watch.
Maybe because you came back from watching the other
Jack. Do you think
Jack
maybe
Frost.
There's some kind of like a resurgence now that kids who watched it as kids are now in their 20s? That they're like, Jack Frost, I remember that when I was a kid. Mm. I don't know because I was kind of not in the age range that this movie was aimed at. Whatever that age range was, I wasn't in it.
I don't know if anyone is in
it. Because I remember seeing the trailers and thinking, yeah, I'm going to miss that one.
Well, basically, I think anyone living in 1998 was in that age range because the movie varied greatly from children's movie to Fleetwood Mac landslide age.
Well, we have two So Wrong It's Right questions this week. One of us here might know one of the answers.
I know one of the answers,
This
depends
movie,
on what the other one is. I might know the other one.
Well, I think you might know both.
Let's not get greedy here, Cody.
This movie was originally set up with different cast and a different director, and it had sort of a whole life before Michael Keaton came on. And the director we mentioned earlier, the director of this movie was the predominant director of the Mr. Show episodes with Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
Mm-hmm.
He is now famous for, if anyone's seen Run, Ronnie, Run, which is the Mr. Show movie, this director kicked David Cross and Bob Odenkirk out of the editing room, would not allow them to participate in the editing of the Mr. Show movie, which is probably one of the craziest decisions to come out of the modern era of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the Mr. Show movie, Run, Ronnie, Run, was a huge bomb. Like, it's a terrible movie. So, I'm going to read you four names. Three of these actors were originally were attached to Jack Frost at one point, before you know everything kind of got rebooted and Michael Keaton was put in. So you're gonna pick the one name who was not attached to this movie: John Travolta, Bruce Willis, George Clooney, Billy Bob Thornton. This movie was in development with three of those names attached to it at one point.
Well, yeah.
Like being considered or...
Oh, no, it's in development.
Going to be in the movie.
Like being worked... Where they were
so
going
to... All three
were,
of those actors are going to be in the movie. So assume it... So
no,
one
but
of
at
them...
Different, but at different times. Like yeah, they were actually attached...
It would have been
like,
a really star-studded cast if all three of those were...
Yeah,
Willis, Travolta, Clooney, and Jack Frost.
For the Michael Keaton role.
That's Travolta's wife, right?
That's right.
So that would make sense.
That's such tricky then, because it could either be... You added it for that reason.
I'm going to say that
he would be attached for that reason.
I'm going to say this.
So I don't like you doing that.
This was probably
there's really nothing at stake. So
this was right before
you get hit in the face with a snowball.
Clooney was moving up, but it was right before he was a mega superstar. So I'm going to say Clooney was the one who was not attached.
Okay, okay.
I'm saying Travolta. Like right I think before. You added it for the reason that.
Okay, you're going Travolta.
I'm gonna go Billy Bob.
Billy Bob. Amazingly, no one picked the right answer. All three of those guys were attached. Wow. Yes. Bruce Willis was the one who was not attached. And, this was in development with John Travolta.
And what did Clooney leave to do instead?
Batman and Robin.
Wow. Which is even a worse movie than this one.
Now, there's a second so wrong it's right question. This went into heavy development with a director. It wasn't just attached. The director actually had a separate script written. Like, they were in pre-production before a director left the project over creative differences. Probably the creative differences being, this is a movie about a freaking snowman. But I'm going to read you five names. One of these directors was not just attached, but was working on the movie. The Farrelly brothers, Ben Stiller, Sam Raimi, Joss Whedon or Wes Anderson?
Oh, you know, I actually did read this. I'm going to have to abstain.
I know that one too.
Okay, so two people in this.
Wes Anderson?
Yeah.
Is it Wes Anderson?
Wes Anderson? Okay. Yeah.
One of them, we're picking the one that was that attached? Was.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi's so bizarre, I got to say Sam Raimi.
Wow, Andy Wolf Sam gets Raimi. One.
Sam Raimi. Which is a movie that might have been Raimi, interesting.
This was Sam Raimi and George Clooney. Were on this movie. There was a script. They were moving forward with it, and then both of them ended up pulling out its project. But
what a duo that would have been.
Yeah, it was a different script. I guess we should say that. After
so maybe
Sam
potentially
Raimi,
a better movie.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, after the script after, potentially after could Sam have been Raimi better. Left, the script was completely redone. That's why you know there's so many names on this script, like in the credits. Mm-hmm. So that I don't want to say it was good, but it is Sam Raimi, so I'd hope it wasn't as terrible.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi left this, ironically, to do A Simple Plan, which is a fantastic movie.
Oh, Billy Bob.
Yeah, with Billy Bob Thornton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty great stuff. Pretty great stuff. Glad we all got to experience this together this holiday season.
The Christmas movie that wasn't really a Christmas movie.
It really made the holiday season.
Die Hard is more of a Christmas movie than
this. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon is more of a Christmas movie. So, yeah, we have
great
stuff.
One could argue Independence Day is a better Christmas movie.
Yeah. Well, we have great stuff coming up. We're going to be, if you want to get, watch the movies we're going to be doing.
Alex is dying.
I know. I'm really saddened.
But he'll come back as a snowman.
Why couldn't Michael Keaton just stick around a little longer?
It's
somebody
okay.
Give me
he'll
a magic
be back
harmonica
as a snowman.
Quick. We're going to be doing the Selena Gomez action movie, The Getaway.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be coming up. Paranoia, the Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman movie will be coming up soon. What else do we have coming up? Oh, we have Knight Riders is going to be coming up.
Yeah.
The George Romero modern motorcycle gang jousting movie.
Oh, that's an old one, right?
It's from like the, I want to say like 1981
right,
or 82.
Okay, I never seen
I
it.
I was just thinking,
I've heard of it.
Because of Michael Keaton, you remember that White Noise movie?
Oh, yeah.
That was bad. We should do that.
Oh, that was White Noise. That is one we should do. That is bad. I've seen that and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Michael. Yeah, Michael Keaton's had a, for a guy who's so talented, he is.
That was like his last
go.
Big movie too, I think.
I know, because I'm always, that's always perplexed me is where did Michael Keaton go? Like, there's, seriously, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Well, if someone's listening to this, I guess they're into podcasts, I would highly recommend listening to Michael Keaton on the Marc Maron WTF podcast. He did a great interview with him and kind of went into why his kind of, you know, kind of faded from the public view for a while. And it's really interesting. It's one of the better WTFs, I think.
I still think, too, that when you get in that trap when you're known, again, people watch your movie and go, well, that's Michael Keaton. You can't.
Well,
it's
but
really, Michael Keaton plays. I'm saying
it's for George Clooney.
I think you might be. You need to watch some more Michael Keaton movies before you say
he's
that.
He's more versatile.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing very, very different stuff, you know, for quite a while there. He basically after Batman Returns, you know, in 1992. You know, in that era is when he started to fade, and he was super diverse at that time, you know, in the stuff he was working on. I think, unfortunately, it was more in the late 90s when he started kind of getting, he's having trouble. He was doing, like, Desperate Measures. I mean, he was kind of showing up in more. Showing up in more, like, generic-y, The Paper, where, you know, where it was like, oh, they were more generic-y movies. But he was killing it, you know. prior to that. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, I don't want to spoil the WTF interview. I mean, but he basically says he kind of lost sight of the kind of projects he should be attaching himself to, and kind of, you know, started choosing some things, you know, that were probably not the best choices for him to be, you know, creatively. And mm-hmm. then that's where, unfortunately, but yeah, any if you see this and you like Michael Keaton, go watch Clean and Sober. It's one of the most powerful movies probably of the past 30 years that anyone could see, and one of the truly amazing performances of the past 30 years.
Mm-hmm. On that note, I'm going to go get a drink. Who's with me?
I got to go Christmas shopping.
I'll talk about the plans.
Oh, I thought you actually asked me. Yeah. I thought you were actually asking.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah.
Well, you guys usually leave me out on stuff. So
no, every week we ask. No,
every week we ask you to go out after an art.
We like you, Andy. We want to include you.
I gotta buy shoes.
Yeah. I gotta go stop by Home Depot and buy a hammer.
I got stuff to do, my friends.
Okay,
so now playing about getting left out then.
And let's leave it with that. Yeah. There's no better ending. I've got stuff to do, my friends. Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah.